Now we have here in this first section, the thoughts and affections of believers are heavenly. And the thing that's important here is now the scripture that we have. And I'd like to read first this very first verse, Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now the if here is not the if of condition. It's really the if of argument. And we've already seen that before in this epistle here. Paul, for instance, says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled. That was way back in chapter 1, verse 23. Now, there was no question about they were continuing in the faith and grounded and settled, and they were not moved away from the hope of the gospel. The if there, again, is the if of argument, because actually, these Colossian Christians, they had the evidence of their salvation. Now, what was the evidence? Well, it was faith and hope and love. The fruits of the Spirit were in their lives. Now, let's turn back and look at that for just a moment. In verse 4 of chapter 1, Paul said, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. The word got around that they had a living faith in Christ Jesus. And of the love which ye have to all the saints. They love the believers. And that is the thing that is important today. Love among the believers. And it's not this sentimental stuff today that you hear so much about. But you evidence your love if you're a minister, if you give them the word of God. And if you are a believer in the church, you evidence your love for your pastor, whether you support a Bible teaching ministry or not. My friend, this thing is very practical. It gets right down where the rubber meets the road. And if it doesn't, it's no good at all. It's not just to come around and pat somebody on the back and say, I love you, and talk about it all the time. Love is that which manifests itself in reality, you see. So that they had faith and they had love. They also had hope. Will you notice we are told here as we move on down verse 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. And they had a hope, and that hope was the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for his church. And these were the evidences of the fact that they were children of God. And this was the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 8, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. You see, it was a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the lives of these believers there in the city of Colossae. So that what we have here, again, is not a question or a condition, but of argument. Paul is saying, since you are risen, or since you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now, here again is something that I think is very, very important. And I want you to notice now what he's saying here. He says, where is Christ today? Well, he's sitting on the right hand of God. What are we to do today? We're to seek those things which are above. And that word seek is a very interesting word, by the way. It actually means having an urgency and a desire and an ambition, having all of the excitement that goes with seeking those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. It was like in the Olympics, you see these folks running or doing some athletic feat to win a gold medal. Well, believe me, they were seeking it. I don't see many saints today looking for gold medals, but that's what we're to do. But where are we to seek them? Will we to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God? The things above are what? Where Christ is. And it means to seek the things of Christ. Now, I want you to notice something here very important. He doesn't say here that we are to run off and take up some little course of mixture of pseudo-psychology and a smattering of Bible He doesn't say that we're to seek that. These things that are mixed up today and handed out, and these poor crippled Christians today are attempting to pick up this type of thing, and this pseudo-psychology and a little smattering of Bible are stirred up in a few night classes, and when you've taken that course, you have been given a solution to all the problems of life, all the way from a neurotic mother-in-law to a boss that's a dirty old man. You just know how to treat everybody now when you've had this little course. You can solve all the problems of life. You've been given a do-it-yourself kit, and presto, well, there's an open sesame to a new life. I say to you, and I say it very carefully, that you can only do it as you seek those things which are above, where Christ is at the right hand of God. And friends, you can't find it in a tape either. Now, I'm beginning to step on toes, in fact, my own toes. A couple came to me in a summer conference, says, "Dr. McGee, we have a certain tape of yours. We play that tape at least once every week. Listen to it." Well, I had a feeling that they were beginning to worship a man, and that tape wasn't getting them through to Christ. And friends, it'd be better if they'd burn that tape if it doesn't get them through to Christ. And now I'm really going to step on toes. He didn't say here to seek out and listen to a radio program. May I say this to you, and may I say it kindly, and may I say it very frankly today. Not many will be quite as frank as I am, as you well know. Don't make McGee your idol. If you do, you have one that has feet of clay. You are looking to a man that's just like you are, person just like you are. I make a lot of mistakes. I'm not near the man I'd like to be. Not the husband I'd like to be, not the father, and I'm not even the grandfather I'd like to be. May I say it to you, don't make the through the Bible program a God for you. My friend, the purpose of this program and the purpose of this poor preacher is to get through the Word of God to you so that you can see the living Christ and get through to Him. And friends, if the Holy Spirit just doesn't use this to get you through to the living Christ, then we've fallen on our face, and I'm really willing to quit. Now, the Bible, and I believe this with all of my heart, is a book which reveals the living Christ. I'd like to illustrate that. I was in school with a fellow, he was a Canadian. He told me about his first trip down to Niagara Falls. And by the way, Miss McGee and I, we had the opportunity of seeing Niagara Falls for the first time for each one of us. And I said to her when we were there looking over the falls and that mighty cascade of water, I said to her, "Honey," I said, "I promised you that on our honeymoon we'd go to Niagara Falls." I think we're still on our honeymoon. And I said, "Here we are." So we got to see it. But this young fella told me that as a boy, young boy, he got on the train, and he went down from the Canadian side, of course, and that's the best place to see it. I found that out. And he says that when I got off the train, I could hear the roar of the falls, but I couldn't see them. So I began to move toward the sound, and I came to a great big building. I went in that building, and it was like a Union Station in the United States. There was the popcorn vendor. There was the soda pop machine, the gift shop, and all kinds of things around, and all kinds of papers and chewing gum papers on the floor, and I guess chewing gum too, and people sitting around. And he said, "I was a little disappointed, but I could hear the roar of the falls." Then I looked down at the end of the building, and I saw the biggest picture I'd ever seen in my life, a great big frame that took in most of the end of that building. And he says, it was a picture of Niagara Falls. And he said, "I couldn't believe it. At Niagara Falls, they'd have a picture of Niagara Falls." So he said, "I began to walk down toward that picture. And the closer I got to it, I saw that I was looking through a frame at the real, living, running falls." May I say to you, friends, when you read the Bible, you're not looking at a dead person. You're looking at the real, living Christ. He's living. He's at God's right hand. And we're to seek the things which are above. We're to seek Him today. And That's the reason we're going through the Bible. And there's no shortcut to this. Somebody said to me, well, why not cut it down to 1 year? I've tried that. I did that for several years. It's not adequate. 5 years is really not adequate because some people are already writing in and says, why don't you slow down? Well, friends, we're taking 5 years, and now somebody says 10 years. Oh, no, I can't do that. This is not a short course, and it's actually longer than any college course. And I can't go 10 years. That's out for me. 5 years is long enough. And even if we went through 10 years, 20 years, we'd not know it all. Well, when Paul came to the end of his life, he could say that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, fellowship of his sufferings. Oh, today, friends, that you and I might seek those things which are above. And that's the purpose of this program here. And how well are we doing it? Well, some people are getting through. I'm going to pick up now just a couple of letters here and share them with you. Here is one that the listener writes. When we were studying Romans and Corinthians, I began to realize just how much of a carnal Christian I really was. And I began to desire much more than that. So I began to pray that I might truly know Christ as God would want me to. Nothing happened for a while, but I kept praying. And then God did answer my prayer. One day you said that God sees us in Christ. And it was as though some dark, hidden thing had been brought out into the light. I'd read Ephesians many times before, but that day your message really struck home. It's a wonderful thing to know that Paul's prayer is still being answered today. And I realized that day that God no longer looked down upon me as a poor sinner struggling upon this earth, but in Christ, and I belong to him as a child. I wish I could read the rest of that letter. My friend, that's what we want to do. Will you listen to this one here? And I probably should tell you where this one comes from. It comes from Reedley, California. And then here is one that comes from Fountain Valley, California. And this listener writes, I'm not going to rave on about, oh, Dr. McGee, I don't know what I'd do without you, but must testify to the real fact that your faithful holding forth of the word of life has sustained me through some very difficult things and always brings me back to where God can and does show himself to be a loving father who cares about me and each one of my children that are his children. When I wrote you a year ago about regaining my spiritual equilibrium during your study in Romans, I thought things had gotten as bad as they possibly could, and the worst was over. Well, I know now that God was strengthening me then to endure what has come since. And through it all, there was good old Dr. McGee, God's spokesman, faithfully declaring the whole counsel of God daily. And sometimes in desperation, I'd listen 2 and 3 times a day as all else around me crumbled and deteriorated. My friend, may I say to you, and I say it from my heart, oh, get through to Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, the right hand of God. And I'd give up and quit if there weren't some people getting through to him, let me tell you, because that's the purpose of this program, and that ought to be the purpose of every program and anything that's done for God, that it gets people through to God.